Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, February the 12th, 2026, 13 minutes past the hour. Glad to be with you this morning. Going to do a little housekeeping and then tell you how I jinxed myself yesterday. I'll get to that in just a moment. Let's do our housekeeping here to kick off the program. The Lee Street Presbyterian Church's Women's Association annual soup supper will be at 455 Lee Street here in Marion this coming Friday. That's tomorrow, February the 13th, from 4 to 7 p.m. The cost is a donation. The menu is made up of homemade chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soups, possibly potato soup, shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, assorted desserts, punch and coffee. Bring your family and friends and enjoy the evening. Again, that's the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's Women's Association annual soup supper tomorrow, Friday, February 13th, Friday the 13th, by the way, 455 Lee Street, 4 to 7 p.m., and the cost is a donation. Now, here's how I jinxed myself. And by the way, we had a great program yesterday, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the phone calls, and hopefully we'll do that again and have that type of fun again today. But here's how I jinxed myself. If you remember, when I opened up the program yesterday, I said that Tuesday into Wednesday, I had one of the best night's sleep that I had had in a long time. Now, I should know better by now not to say things like that, because last night I thought I would have a good night's sleep, and I had a fair night's sleep, but here's what happened. Went to bed around the normal time, and then about 1:30 I woke up and out of a dead sleep. And I could not figure out when I first woke up and couldn't go back to bed, why can I not go back to sleep? What is going on? And then I noticed as I was laying in bed after about 20 minutes that there was this hum. It wasn't a loud hum, not like a stark hum, but there was a hum that I could hear. And I thought, well, what in the world is humming at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning? And so I'm laying there thinking about this now. What is this noise? Kind of sounded like a motor running, but not a car motor. But that's what it sounded like. And I thought, what could that be? But it sounded like it was off in the distance. So I laid there for a little while, and maybe 45 minutes passed, because I did not see anything from where I was laying outside the window, so I didn't think a helicopter had landed outside or anything. So I thought, what is this? Well, then, all of a sudden, in the backyard, I started to see, like, police lights. Red, flashing, red and blue lights. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, but it just sort of flashed for a minute. It wasn't continuous, it just kind of flashed for a minute. And then I thought, well, okay, what is that? And as I'm thinking about that, maybe 10 minutes pass, and I start to hear voices. Now, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but they were off in the distance, and it sounded like it was maybe like three or four people. So this is all happening from laying in bed. And now like an hour has passed, and I'm thinking, well, what in the world is going on? And, you know, I don't want to be one of those people who runs to the windows and starts looking out and see, you know, I don't want to snoop on the neighbors is basically what I'm saying. But this doesn't stop. And then I start to see more of the red and blue lights. So now I'm thinking, well, something's going on, so I'm going to have to be nosy. So I get out of bed, and I go into the living room and the kitchen, and I really kind of see, well, I kind of see the red and blue lights, but not big. So then I go to the front of the house where there's a foyer, and my office is in the front of the house. And as I'm going toward the front of the house down the hallway, now I can really see the red and blue lights even through the curtains and the windows in the front of the house. So whatever is going on is happening in the front of the house. So now I become the nosy neighbor as I go into my office and I peek through the blinds. Now I see that there is an ambulance at my neighbor's house, which now explains what that hum was, because an ambulance makes a pretty loud noise even when it's just idling. There's an ambulance at my neighbor's house, and the back doors of the ambulance are open, and there is a gurney sitting in the street. Then I look to my right, and there is a fire. I really don't know what it is. It's not a fire engine, but it's like a fire pickup truck. You know, it's a pickup truck that the fire department uses. It's to the right, and it's got its lights on. And there's just lights everywhere, lights everywhere, lights everywhere. So now I'm thinking somebody is getting carried out of the house next to me. And so I go back inside, and I lay back down, because I don't want to be that person who's watching this. And frankly, there's nobody outside watching this at now like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. So I go back, and I'm thinking, well, this will be a quick process. And it is not a quick process, because I can still hear the hum, and I see the lights, and you hear the talking, and so on and so forth. So I don't think anybody died last night, because there was no big hurry for them to get to the hospital. But clearly one of my neighbors, I think, went to the hospital last night at some point in the middle of the night. And let me tell you, my neighbors are great people, because I never see them. I think they work third shift, because I don't even see them in the summer. I've never seen them outside in years. I don't know who they are. I don't know. One set of my neighbors are great. I know exactly who they are. But the other set, I don't see them outside. I don't know where they are. I never see cars going to their house. Nothing. So I think they're third shift people. Well, last night one of those people did leave by ambulance, I believe. But the whole process ended up taking like 3.5 hours. So now I'm up from like 1:30, 2 o'clock until pretty close to 5 in the morning. So this morning, I guess I'm saying all this to say this. I say all that to say this is that I've had like 3 hours sleep now. And I don't blame anybody for this, but I think I jinxed myself from the night before. So that's my story from last night. Does anybody have a story like this, or would you like to share right now? And again, we don't know if my neighbor is dead or not. It could have been they came and realized that the neighbor was dead, and that's why they were not in a hurry. I don't really know. So now I'm going to listen to the obituary report to see if my neighbor pops up, although, come to think of it, I don't really know their names, because I've never seen them, so I probably wouldn't know their obituary even if it came up on the report. But these things take time. You know, maybe it'll be the talk of the neighborhood today. I don't know. The phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 21 and a half minutes past the hour. But I think this is a good story, because it illustrates what can happen in the middle of the night. And have you ever noticed that people get sick in the middle of the night? The emergency room is busier in the night than the day. You see more ambulances and fire trucks and all of that at night. Why does more stuff like that go on at night? Now, I kind of understand why more crime goes on at night, because people want to operate when businesses are closed, and, you know, they kind of do it under the cloak of darkness. But why do we have more issues with fire engines and ambulances in the middle of the night? Why is that? Does anybody know? Does anybody have any idea why that is? So there's another question for you. That's kind of like the pencil pen question yesterday. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz and we can discuss it. 20 degrees here in Marion. Now, it is a little warmer in the studio today, 78 in the studio today. Now, that makes me a little nervous because we're getting close to 80 again, which has not happened in quite some time. Now, I don't know if that's because the temperature got better outside. It seems like when the temperature's better outside, it gets warmer in the studio. And I don't really understand why that is either, but, you know, these are the questions that we leave up to the listening audience this morning. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to any of these stories? But that's how my night was. It was an interesting time. Now, let's see here. Oh, and I'm going to lay a tease on you. Today, I have something going on, a special event, I will say, that I cannot talk about today, but I can talk about it tomorrow. So stay tuned to tomorrow's program, and I'll tell you all about it, but the event is supposed to happen later on today. So hopefully it will, and I'll be able to tell you all about it tomorrow. So that's the tease from here. So now you're really going to want to tune in to tomorrow's program. Also, we've got three very interesting days coming up here, because we've got tomorrow, which is Friday the 13th, which that's always a weird day. Then Saturday, we have Valentine's Day, and heaven knows that's always a weird day. And then Monday, we have President's Day, so a lot of people will get a three-day weekend. So we have three big days coming up in the next 4 days. Friday the 13th, and the fear of Friday the 13th, Triskaidekaphobia, that's tomorrow, Triskaidekaphobia Day. Then we've got Valentine's Day on Saturday, and then we've got President's Day on Monday. Now, I think it's interesting that on Valentine's Day Eve, there is a Friday the 13th, because a lot of people propose and do very romantic things on Valentine's Day, I guess. But now, you've got to start thinking there might be a little bit of a jinx on that, because the day before is Friday the 13th. So can you imagine if you got engaged on the Valentine's Day that was preceded by a Friday the 13th. Now, would you think that that marriage is headed for doom? See, I don't know. I'm not really a paranoid person, but I'm also not a person who's ever been married. So, you know, you take the good with the bad there. Do you think there might be some kind of curse on Valentine's Day this year with Friday the 13th preceding Valentine's Day? Again, the phone lines are open here. Would love to talk with you 25 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll have our special announcement in regard to what went on today, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it, and glad to be able to report back to you tomorrow on what is going on today. Now, I come to you this morning with a story that broke yesterday. And I'll tell you, I really don't understand this story for a lot of reasons. Okay, apparently what happened, I'm not going to read this story word for word, but you can go online and see this video. Apparently down at Ohio State, Gordon Gee, who is back at Ohio State, was giving a speech, a lecture to a class one night this week. I think it must have been Monday night. Monday or Tuesday night. Monday night. Yes, it's Monday night. So Monday night, Gordon Gee is giving a speech to a class at Ohio State. Now, when the speech is over, two people, not television people, but two people with cameras approach him in the hallway. Now, he is surrounded by a few people. Two of them, I believe, are teachers, and one of them probably his assistant. So Gordon Gee is surrounded by people in the hallway. And here come these two camera people. Now one of them is a documentary filmmaker, and one of them does a political blog. So they're both approaching him to ask him questions in the hallway. Now, I think he's trying to be polite, so he does sort of speak to them, although I have not seen that video yet where he actually speaks to them. But they're coming up on him, and basically the people around him are trying to keep these camera people, these videographers, away from him. Well, what ends up happening is one of the teachers at Ohio State, the professors, is his name here somewhere? Let's see here. Well, anyway, one of the professors actually throws one of the cameramen to the floor, and it's videotaped. And here's what Ohio State said. Ohio State spokesperson Ben Johnson said Wednesday in an emailed statement that the professor, I guess his last name was Perez, was placed on paid administrative leave. Johnson said individuals on administrative leave are not allowed on campus, with limited exceptions for things like medical appointments. We are aware of the incident, and it is very concerning. The faculty member involved has been placed on administrative leave pending a full OSU PD investigation and thorough review of the facts. Now, here's what I want to say about this. I am not a fan of going to somebody like Gordon Gee, and you don't have an interview, and you come up on him in the hallway, and you try to film him. Because I don't think you get any real information that way. You might throw your questions at him, but is he really answering them? I haven't heard any answers to the questions that they were asking him, so I don't know if it's really all that effective of a technique, but more maybe of something clickbait people like to click on because they like to see somebody coming up on Gordon Gee in the hallway and asking him a bunch of questions. Now, that being said, it's not exactly my cup of tea, but if you want to do it, that's fine. The problem I have here is I don't know why this professor put his hands on the cameraman, because that's not okay. It's not okay to assault somebody. And why somebody would do that, I really don't understand. And obviously, I think this professor is going to face some consequences. But it was all over Columbus media yesterday, and kind of a fascinating story. So do you have any thoughts on this story? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't get it. I really don't understand why a professor would get so angry enough to put his hands on a cameraman and throw him to the floor. Now, I guess he could be prosecuted for this. And I guess the bigger question here, we've had this question in recent weeks, but who is media and who is not? Now, obviously, neither one of these camera people work for a media outlet. So, do we consider them legitimate media? Now, I would say they are, because if you're trying to do good work and you're trying to get a story, well, yeah, I would consider that media. I don't think we should be judgmental in that way. But I don't, like I said, my opinion is, and I guess my thinking is, what good information do you actually get when you approach somebody and they don't know that you're coming? You approach them in a hallway, you throw a camera up in their face, and you start asking them questions. Now, are you going to get a lot of good information? I'm sure from time to time you might, but I don't know how good the information is going to be. And why is this being done? Is it too much trouble to get an interview, or maybe they won't give you an interview? I don't know. I really don't understand. But this is basically kind of how things work now, that I think people want more clicks than actually want the story. Because now the story is about the cameraman being thrown down. It's not about asking Gordon Gee any questions. So, again, I don't know. You know, does anybody have any take on this story? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, not okay to put your hands on somebody. Not okay to throw anybody to the floor. Not okay to assault anybody. And I'm sure this professor will face the repercussions of this. But is this where we are? I guess because everybody has a camera and everybody's got access to public places. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of paparazzi. You know, I don't even know if we have paparazzi anymore. But that kind of used to be considered a paparazzi thing, that you would approach somebody when they were not expecting it, and you would throw a camera in their face, and you would try to get something out of them. You know, TMZ sort of made a career of this. So, I don't know, do you think that the professor should have gotten this involved? Do you think the professor should have put his hands on the cameraman? I don't know why anybody would think that's okay. But let me know if you have any thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 35 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday morning. Would love to hear your thoughts on anything we have talked about so far this morning. So, we've got the ambulance pulling up at my neighbor's house at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and staying there for about 3 hours. We've got a special announcement tomorrow on the show, something fun going on today. We can talk about it tomorrow morning. We've got the incident here at Ohio State yesterday with the cameraman being thrown to the floor by the OSU professor, who has now been placed on leave. Well, clearly Ohio State has a problem with this, or else they would not place the professor on leave. And I guess if anybody wants to talk about anything else we've talked about this week, we talked a lot yesterday about the Haitians and Springfield and Governor DeWine and First Lady Fran DeWine seeming to be in favor of the Haitians staying there. We also talked about the possible elimination of property taxes, people wanting to put something on the ballot to have a constitutional amendment where Ohio would not have property taxes. Talked a little bit about that yesterday, and we talked about the very interesting subject, why do people not use pencils anymore? Why has it all switched over to pens? So, there you go. They're the subjects as they are. 740-383-9944. Oh, and I guess yesterday we talked about the ICE protest that happened on Tuesday here in Marion at one of the city schools. And again, we don't have definitive information on this, but apparently, from what I was told by 3 to 4 people, the students were told that they could be protected if they stayed in the building, but they could not if they went outside of the building. And a lot of people had problems with that, because it is the kids' right to protest. But also, are they really safe inside the building if ICE were to come in the building. Not that ICE is in Marion. I don't know that we have any stories of that. I haven't heard anything of that nature. But these are the stories today. 37 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you this morning. Well, and poor Nancy Guthrie, we've been following this case for a while now. Savannah Guthrie's mother has still not been found. Don't know what's going on there. You know, we had some footage of somebody who was apparently at their house. I can't make heads or tails of any of this, to be honest with you. I have no idea what is going on with this case. This whole thing just seems incredibly, incredibly strange. This woman has now been without her medication for, 10 to 11 days. She's been without her home for 10 to 11 days. She has a pacemaker. At one point, she did bleed. We've all seen the blood at her home. I mean, why can this woman not be found? Apparently, these kidnappers did a very good job carrying out this kidnapping, I should say. And I don't know. It is the most bizarre case, and maybe that's why it has captivated people to the degree that it has captivated people, is that people don't understand how this can still be going on 10 to 11 days after the original event happened. Does anybody have any thoughts on this whole Nancy Guthrie kidnapping, where we are at this point? We've talked about it a little on the show, as we've talked this week. You know, I don't think most people want the woman to be dead, but what has she gone through? And what condition must she be in at this particular point? I mean, it cannot be a positive thing. Oh, we're getting a message from one of our listeners out here this morning. Mary sending us a message saying, Brinley says she uses pencils at school. Well, Brinley, our youngest listener out there, so glad she's still out there listening. She uses pencils at school. Glad to hear that. Brinley, glad you're listening this morning, and glad you use pencils at school. I don't know what happened to the pencil. A matter of fact, I was looking for a pencil around here at the station yesterday, just so we could have a pencil on the desk to balance out everything with pencils and pens. But I couldn't find one, so we don't have a pencil. But you never know what'll happen as we go on down the road. Maybe we'll get a pencil and even a pencil sharpener, which will make it much more useful. So, does anybody have anything to say about any of these topics this morning? Do you have anything to say about the cameraman being thrown down at OSU this week on Monday by one of the professors, the professor now suspended? Does anybody have anything to say about the Nancy Guthrie case as that continues on down the road? Still no sign of her. Valentine's Day coming up this weekend. Friday the 13th coming up tomorrow. President's Day on Monday. Who is your favorite president? Now there's a question, and maybe we'll talk more about that on President's Day. Who is your favorite president? Now are you a home type person? And your favorite president is President Harding. Do you have another favorite president? Maybe somebody in recent times, somebody in your lifetime. Who is your favorite president? Does anybody want to share with us this morning? 42 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Who is your favorite president? You know, at one point, I could name a good portion of the presidents right in a row. Now, I don't know if I could do that anymore. I could do it going backwards, probably further than I could do it going forward. But anyway, does anybody have a favorite president? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I wonder if they still do those things in school where they go, who was your favorite president? Write a report on it, write a book report on it, and share it with the class. You know, I did that one time, and, I think I gave a speech on this president. Gave like a 20... You know, it seemed then like a long time to speak, 20 minutes. Well, now, you know, that's nothing, considering I speak here for 2 hours every morning. I mean, I've already done 31 minutes this morning with pretty much myself just on the line here. But we would be glad to have you on the line if you'd like to call in. I'll tell you, isn't it the way, though? I always say this. It's either feast or famine on the phone calls. Yesterday, we pretty much had nothing but phone calls the entire two-hour program, and today we're 31, 32 minutes into the program and haven't heard from anybody. So I guess it's whatever topics you're talking about and who's listening to the program and who's available to call in, and I guess that's how it all works out. But does anybody have a favorite president? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have a take on the OSU incident, or would you like to tell us who your favorite president is? Well, Terry's out there listening. He just sent me some Hey, Terry, call in and tell us what you think of the OSU incident. He's been in the video production business for a long time. It'd be good to get his thoughts on this. And you can tell us who your favorite president is. I think the president he named is kind of interesting. Or the person he named is kind of interesting as his favorite president. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So I know we've got Brinley and Mary out there this morning, and maybe we'll hear from Terry here momentarily, and he can discuss with us what he makes of the whole incident at OSU that happened Monday night. Very interesting stuff. All right, let's go to the phones here. All right, go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, how are you?
Gee whiz, nobody's called in today. Is anybody out there listening? Scott has $1,000 to give to the eighth caller.
Well, we know we have Mary and Brinley out there, and we have you out there. Yesterday was nothing but calls. It's the topics, I think.
Or it could be the balmy weather. People are getting ready to get their Speedos on and go out and lay in the sun.
Oh, they probably already did that.
You never know.
It doesn't take much for people.
So you want my opinion on the guy with the camera?
Yeah, because I think you were the one who I had the conversation with not too long ago with about Don Lemon, about who is media and who is not media.
Well, you know, media is somebody that works for an organization, a news organization.
And I guess these two did not.
If you are a stringer for a news organization, you would have an ID card, a media credential for any event. And that's what I've always had for numerous events. If I'm working for NBC Sports over at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, or down at when they used to have the Columbus Ford Dealers 500, etc., you'd get media credentials. Now, somebody that's just out there and they're taking a camera and they are really not affiliated or doing anything for a news organization, I would consider them nothing more than paparazzi.
Well, and this is the thing. One of them is a political blogger. Now, the political blogger was not the one who was thrown to the ground. He just, they happened to be there at the same time, and I guess he ended up videotaping the other guy being thrown to the ground. Now, he's a political blogger, and he's the one who's getting a lot of attention because he had the video of the professor doing this. The other guy was a documentarian who I guess has made documentaries. I was reading some of the documentaries he's made. He's made a couple. Some on super fans and things of that nature. So he's a documentarian. Apparently, they were both there to ask Gordon Gee different types of questions in the hallway. So, no, neither of them is associated with a media outlet, but that's why they were there.
Well, even if you're a documentary maker, you should have credentials if they're only of your own. An example would be a business card that would have enumerate everything that you've done, etc., and illustrate the credentials you have. You know, otherwise you're just paparazzi. You're somebody trying to get the goods on somebody so you can post on YouTube, etc., and well, maybe even sell footage.
But isn't the irony of this that that's exactly what happened? Because this professor threw the one guy to the ground, OSU suspended the professor, and now the original reason that they were there taking this video is now irrelevant. The Gordon Gee quote or video that they got of him didn't mean anything. Now the story and the video is in the video's viral. They refer to it as viral in this article. Is the professor assaulting the cameraman? So now that's the story. And Ohio State has suspended the professor. So and they give credence to these people as journalists, because they seem to feel that independent journalism is okay, and if you are in a public area, that you're allowed to do that.
Well, again, I would not, if they're not working for a news organization, have express written documentation, what have you, that they're doing a job for a news organ, then they're just out there. They're paparazzi. That's all there is to it.
Well,
because they're not out there on a story. They're out there for their own selfish needs.
Right, but see, I think there are two schools of thought here. One, okay, like, let's say somebody wanted to interview Gordon Gee. Now, let's say they are not with a NBC, ABC, CBS, okay?
And that would be a prime example that I did exactly what you are talking about. A friend of mine was getting married, and his wife, and he was an usher for football games for years and years. And I thought I would surprise him at his wedding reception with Gordon Gee giving best wishes to so-and-so and his wife. And they're both big, you know, big fans. And I had to make an appointment, made arrangements. So
right,
that everything was there. And, you know, you don't ambush.
No, but that's
people.
But that's not an interview. I'm saying if you go,
it is an interview. I interviewed him.
Well, what did you ask him aside from the wedding?
I asked him, why do you have John Belushi up on the wall, Elwood Blues?
Right.
Well, E stands for Elwood.
Okay.
It's, well, it's Elwood, Gee, Elwood Gee.
Right. Well, let me say that. Let's say you applied for an interview with Gordon Gee, and you wanted to talk about college subjects. You wanted to talk about his career and the changing atmosphere at colleges. That's the premise. So you apply. You are not with a news organization, and he grants you the interview. And let's say there's something of use in that interview, and somebody else uses it after it airs. Now, are you media then?
No.
So
the footage is nothing more than found footage. Depends on how that footage is used.
Well, you didn't find
Depends
it.
Depends on whether... Do what?
You say it's found footage?
Yeah. It all depends on how that footage is used. Did the originator of it license it or grant free use of it to the party that put it... You say they put it on in the media?
Well, yeah, because now... Like 90% of the things I see now in AP reports or news reports, they don't quote themselves. They say, this journalist. Like Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly no longer works for a news service. And she got a lot of press this week for criticizing the Bad Bunny halftime show. Now, she doesn't work for any network. She doesn't work for any news source anymore.
Well, you have to realize one important thing. Where does she get her news? Who does all the fact checking? She has a staff of people.
Yeah, but you said what makes you media.
With, so she's an organization.
Right, but you said what makes you media is working for those organizations.
Yes, working for those organizations.
So she doesn't.
You're either a stringer, and those organizations know who you are because that lends the credibility so that they can fact check and make sure that the information they're receiving is from a reliable source.
Well, I here's what I will say about that. But then I want to get to the bigger point here, which is the professor throwing the cameraman to the ground.
No, that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know the whole story.
Well, it's on video. You can watch it. I mean, so, but I guess here's the point. The point I'm making is that if you do a story now, let me just go back here. There was recently a story that happened in Marion. Now, the Columbus news sources are not always in Marion. I got a message from one of the Columbus news sources that said, can you please call me? I want to get some information on a Marion story. So, I called him up, talked to him, gave him what information I had, and they said, if you get any interviews or anything of that nature, if you get any sound, send it down and we'll give you credit for it. I've also had that from another media outlet in Columbus in the last month because they wanted credit to use a picture that they did not have access to that I did. Now, they both consider me media. And they did not...
I think that's a stretch. They consider you.
Well, that's what they said.
Consider you a resource.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the lady said. The lady said, "I consider you a reliable reporter in Marion, the most reliable reporter in Marion right now." And they didn't call WMRN.
No offense, but that's not saying much. Hell, man, you're the only one.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but right now there are still some people employed by WMRN. There are still some people employed by the Marion Star, and you would consider them reporters because they're employed by an old, what do they call them now, traditional news source. But
Legacy
yet,
News.
Legacy. But that's not who the people in Columbus are.
Actually, they're not. They're part of, what the hell's that big conglomerate, iHeartMedia.
And Gannett.
Gannett? So, yeah. So the old stuff is gone, man.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think that's what people base reporter on now. I think they base on accuracy.
Well, it's a word that's been bastardized.
Well, I just think it's accurate.
It's like most of the reporters these days are activist reporters. They have an agenda, and they're going to try to trap someone. Just like that idiot that was interviewing the athletes, I forget which tennis match it was, trying to bring in politics when these are athletes. These are athletes And it was interesting because a lot of them deflected and was wondering, why the hell are you asking me about politics and that? I'm here, and you're supposed to be a sports reporter.
I want to get this in before we go to break here. But it is interesting, and this is coming from one of our listeners. This is a great question. Freedom of the press was granted when the Constitution was written. Now, what media outlets existed when the Constitution was written?
Well, Ben Franklin had his press, and a number of other organizations had presses.
Right, but I don't think that's what they were saying in the Constitution was.
Well, they're trying to, I think, make light of the fact radio didn't exist, television didn't exist, so there was no media. But we stretch that freedom of the press and information and expression. So,
right, but let me say this before we get to break. We can talk about this on the other side because I do want to talk about the professor attacking the cameraman. The video's out there. What is interesting to me, I don't think that reporter or journalist is based on where you work. I think it's based on your record and your accuracy.
It doesn't matter where you work, it's for whom you work.
I don't think that either, because I think if you work...
It is, because that lends credence to the individual.
Yeah, but...
Some Tom, Dick, or Harry coming out of the woodwork with a camera and saying, hey, I'm media, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but as I said, when the people...
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being paparazzi as long as you don't do some of the kinds of things that, killed Diane. You know?
Right, people have always done this. They like to pigeonhole people. You know, gossip columnists. I don't even know if there is such a thing anymore. But they used to take people...
Well, there is. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but they love to lay that on people. They even though they were getting the information right, even though people were reading them, they were syndicated in newspapers all across the country. They love to you're not a journalist. You're a gossip columnist. You're not a journalist. You're paparazzi. You're not a journalist. Who was ever considered a journalist in Marion, Ohio?
You could argue Charlie Evers was.
I don't think that at all.
Jeff Ruth.
I don't think that at all.
You wouldn't say that. Who's your?
I don't think
the Marge Cooper.
Madge.
Madge.
Nope.
Cooper?
I don't think any of them ever did a news report.
Steve Stewart.
Steve Stewart might have been. But I don't think the ones that we remember, I don't think Charlie ever filed a news report. I don't think Charlie ever went to a fire or a police event. I don't think
Now you're breaking it down even more.
Well, I think
Evers used to report all kinds of events going on. He was there talking about it.
Yeah, but he never asked a serious question. He never went
hold it. Now you're breaking it up. So to be a reporter, you have to ask a serious question?
I would hope so. We got a break, though. That's the serious question right now. We're going to come back on the opposite side here.
That falls on the news director.
We're gonna talk up more about this on the opposite side. Stay tuned.
The other half
has the money, and Marla is after it.
When is it? Do you regret